I would like to start by thanking God and all the elders of the congregation for giving me this chance to come up here in front of you guys and preach the truth and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to thank my brother and Brother Henry Nicely for choosing songs and scriptures that go well with my lesson. It is a great thing that once every Sunday, every month, Sunday night, we are allowed to, the men of the congregation are allowed to give a sermon. And I think it is a great opportunity for those who have not gone before to do it for the very first time. For a little while, we will be talking about confusion over God's plan of salvation. Is one saved by faith only or by water baptism? I'm sure that being that there are lots of people that believe here in faith only, that it would be a good idea for me to talk to you guys about this thing so that you can be able to know where they're coming from and be able to defend it. Before I start the sermon, I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. One of us has to be wrong, because it says that there is only one way. Yet, here there is kind of a debate over whether we are saved by faith only or by water baptism. So, one of us has to be right and one of us has to be wrong. The Bible plainly says so. We will start with their arguments, what is used to justify faith only, and it is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. They say that we are saved by belief only, and that if we do anything else, we are earning our way into heaven, and that the Bible clearly states that we do not earn our way into heaven. Because baptism is a work of righteousness, we don't have to do it in order to be saved. Now, a little disclaimer. I believe everything that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 is saying. Let us explain what it is saying further and define what faith is by going to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right? James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. This will explain fully what we are talking about here. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You see, James chapter 2, verses 19. If you believe, you're not much better than, and only believe, you're not much better than the demons. There is something else that you have to do in order to be saved than just believe. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Now we see what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is saying. The substance of things hoped for. I believe that Jesus Christ will make good on his promises to us and give us eternal life if we follow him. The evidence of things not seen. Us doing what God commands for us to do. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Here we are, James chapter 2, verses 24. The only time that faith only is used in the entire Bible is right here. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So you see, we have to do exactly what God says us to do. If we just believe that he is who he is, now, I'm not saying that belief is not important, because it is. Because without belief, no one would be here unless they believed in the first place. But you have to do what God says for you to do. In John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, people believed in Jesus Christ. But did not confess him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You see, the Pharisees believed in Jesus Christ, but they did not do what Jesus Christ told them to do, or they did not follow him. You see, you have to follow what God says, too, in order to be saved. You see, in Ephesians 2, chapter 8 and 9, we did not deserve Jesus Christ coming to die on the cross. Nothing we did could earn Jesus Christ coming. God did it because he loved us. However, that does not excuse us from following what God has to say. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practiced lawlessness. More proof that belief only is not going to save you. There are lots of people, once again, who say that if you do anything other than belief, you are committing a work, and you can't earn your way into salvation. Well, let's go to Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So, faith is a work, but yet they say we can't do works that will make it into heaven. You see, baptism is the only passive step in order to be saved. You see, when you do the steps to be saved, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and you're the one who's believing, you're the one who's repenting, you're the one who's confessing. All of those are used in active voice. However, when you are being baptized, you're the one being baptized. Someone else is baptizing you. So it is the only passive commandment where you're being passive in this instance. And also, if we follow faith only to its logical conclusion, why have faith when you've got the grace of God? We might as well all be Unitarian Universalist, you know? We have to be baptized in order to be saved. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, a lot of people will twist this verse and say, well, it says that belief, unbelief only will condemn you. It doesn't say he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. However, that they are missing the point of the verse. You see, you have to believe and be baptized. Belief only is not going to save you, yet unbelief is just enough to condemn you. Because think about it, who will be baptized if they don't believe? And to go along with what I'm saying, we'll go to Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So you see, this is proof that you have to believe in order to be baptized. If you just are immersed without belief, all you're doing is being wet. Acts 2:38. This is the big one. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, as you can see, this is a direct commandment that we have to be baptized in order to be saved. But they say baptism is a work of righteousness in the sense that it is a commandment that God tells us to do. You see, there's a difference between the work of righteousness in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and what is in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. In Ephesians chapter 8, you cannot do anything to earn or merit Jesus Christ coming to you. You need God in order to be saved. Nothing you do without God will save you. However, when you follow the plan of salvation, when you follow God's word, you are finding acceptance in God's sight. But know this, that when you accept God's commandment to be baptized, God is doing most of the work when it comes to the baptism. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. The way baptism saves us is putting us in contact with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is what washes our sins away. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood is always inside the body, and since the blood of Christ is inside his body, we must get inside the body of the blood to cleanse us, and baptism puts us in the body. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I like the song 617, When We Are Buried With Christ, as it shows to us what is supposed to happen. You see, the old sinner is buried. He is dead to the world, and what rises up instead is a Christian, a new creature that is free from sin. When one is baptized, Jesus Christ will remove all of your sins from you if you do it for the right reasons. But when you accept the command, it is Jesus Christ who does that. Now, a lot of people will get around all this and say, well, belief is mentioned more than baptism, therefore we only have to believe, because there are lots of verses that say that you have to believe, but do not even mention baptism. Well, in that case, James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. What does that mean? That means that even if baptism was mentioned once in the Bible, you still would have to do it, because it is a direct command. It does not matter how often a command is mentioned in the book of God. You still have to do it. One command in the Bible is just as important as the other command. You see? In Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Pretty self-explanatory there. And finally, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, then, we are to do every commandment that God tells us to do. And baptism is a direct command. And finally, I want to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Wait. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 24. Faith alone does not save us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There is an antitype which also saves us, baptism. I have now proven that baptism saves us, but faith alone does not save us. It's not over yet. They've still got one way to get around that, changing the meaning of verses in the Bible. Our denominational friends say that the Greek word EIS, pronounced ice, means because of. Therefore, Acts 2:38 means that we are baptized because our sins have already been forgiven. Baptism is used to place membership in a denominational church, not for the remission of our sins. I want to define what the Greek word eis means. It is a primary preposition to or into, indicating the point reach or entered of place, time, or purpose. Also, in adverbial phrases, abundantly, against, among, as, at, backward, before, by, concerning, for, and by for they mean intent, purpose, which kind of goes with what we're saying here. You are baptized for, with the intent of purpose, or purpose of getting the remission of your sins. English word for, yeah, it does have two meanings. One is in order to get, and the other one is because of. For the first meaning, in order to get, would be go to the store for groceries. And the second meaning would be he was electrocuted for murder, right? But the Greek word EIS or ice does not have that meaning. Or have that flexibility. It always is forward-looking. I've got a concordance in Strong's Concordance on my phone. I've looked through every translation of the word ice. All of them are forward-looking. And two, I cannot find where it is translated because of. Not once could I find where it is translated because of in the Bible. But all right, let's play their game. Every attempt, every mention of for the remission of sins when they are being baptized means because of. Because our sins have already been forgiven, right? Well then, Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If we, it is the exact same Greek word. I checked it using the concordance too to verify that it was the exact same Greek word ice, translated in Acts 2:38. And it is used in the same context too. So what they are saying, if you follow them to their logical conclusion, is that Jesus Christ died because our sins have already been forgiven, which is not true. Even most of our denominational friends will say that that is not so. And they can't defend this verse. They can try to defend it. In fact, let me show you what happens when they actually try to defend it. One Baptist preacher had this article on the internet called 13 Common Sense Questions a So-Called Church of Christ Preacher Cannot Answer. And in one of these questions, he actually tries to defend Matthew 26, verse 28. The Church of Christ teaches that a sinner is forgiven of sin when he is baptized in water by a Campbellite elder. Now, we do teach that a sinner is forgiven of sin when he is baptized in water, but it doesn't have to be an elder that baptizes you. The emphasis is on the person being baptized, not the person doing the baptizing. So, where does the Bible teach that water baptism is required in order to have one's sins forgiven? Every time the phrase "for the remission of sins" occurs, it is speaking of the fact that our sins have been forgiven previously. The Bible plainly teaches that the forgiveness of sins is conditioned upon repentance of sin and faith in Christ, never upon water baptism. Where does the Bible teach that forgiveness of sin is linked with water baptism? When Christ made the statement in Matthew 26:28 for the remission of sins, it had to be because they had been forgiven all through the Old Testament. Christ shed his blood because God forgave repentant and believing sinners for thousands of years before the Son of God came to take away sins and redeem us and pay the sin debt with his own precious blood. Now, I do not have any idea how he could pay the sin debt if our sins have already been forgiven. But this is his article, so he can say whatever he wants. How can one say that for the remission of sins means in order to obtain, in light of the fact that God never uses the phrase in that sense? In the Old Testament, God forgave sin on the basis of a blood sacrifice. All I need is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 for this one. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There is the nail in the coffin to us being baptized because our sins have already been forgiven. But wait, there is more. People will use Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, in order to prove to us that it can, the Greek word eis or ice can mean because of. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. All right. Well, they will say they repented at the preaching of Jonah means that they repented because of the preaching of Jonah. However, at does not mean because of. It is word that essentially means to or into. indicating a point. So what it really is saying is they repented while Jonah was preaching there. Right? One more thing. They used the thief on the cross to try to give an example of someone that repented simply by belief. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Okay. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verses 3 and 6, and Acts chapter 22, verse 16. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are now persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Ananias tells Paul, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, a lot of people say that Paul, or Saul, was already saved when he believed in Jesus Christ. If that was so, he was miserable while he was being saved because he was blind the entire time. He didn't receive his eyesight until after the baptizing. So what changed between the thief on the cross and Paul's salvation? Well, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 9 and read verse 16 and 17. "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is enforced after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." That is the difference. You see, under the old law, the thief had direct contact with Christ, and Christ had the power to forgive sins. He still has the power to forgive sins in the new law, but we don't have the direct contact with Christ that the thief on the cross did. So we have to do what this says for us to do. And what does this say for us to do? Well, we must hear the word. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. 14 and 17. "I know and am can." Chapter 10, verses 14 and 17. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Chapter 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Believe. Acts 16, verse 31. "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Repent. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent, therefore, and being converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You must confess. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you must be baptized. Afterwards you must live faithfully unto death. Be ye faithful unto death, and you shall have a crown of life in heaven. And if you have believed, but yet you have fallen away, you can pray to God and ask him to forgive you, for God is faithful and just to forgive you. If you have not obeyed the plan of salvation, then you are lost. And if you have, but yet have fallen short, come and let us pray for you as we stand and sing the song Selected.